Good morning.
It's about 4 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and you are tuned to your very own community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. Honey.
I'm Lynn.
And we are together. You're just fine.
Am I? Can you hear
and me? And so are all our listeners listening
excellent,
at home.
Excellent,
We're
excellent.
All just fine this morning. And I'm here to talk to you about, Lynn's here to talk to you about, we're all here to talk about reproductive rights. And how, in fact, they're not so fine. Actually, in Oregon has the highest score of any state in making sure women have access to abortion. But that's only a small part of reproductive rights.
That's right.
Though it is the part that gets perhaps the most contention and attention. So
healthcare clinics that provide abortion rights also provide health care for women. And as those go down in number, so does women's availability of health care service. Talk to everyone if you are of meager means.
Indeed. So here we are at the 41st anniversary of Roe versus Wade. The landmark.
It seems like only yesterday.
Yeah, I know, right? But I was but in, well, first grade. And actually, was I in first grade? No.
No.
I was but in kindergarten. It's true. Anyway, the decision. Oh, no. Wait. How old am I? It doesn't matter. We're going
we'll,
on.
We'll do the math later.
We're going. The 1970s, it came out in 1973. We call that second grade. Anyway, it was the decision of the Supreme Court that guaranteed women's access to safe and legal abortion services through. It got a little bit modified, but through viability. And viability is something that's a little questionable at this point. Viability has changed as medical services, as medical technology has changed. So that's a little wonky. Anyway, it does guarantee that this is sort of an act between a woman and her doctor.
Privacy, it's called. But privacy is
also changing and mutable.
Apparently as well, yes.
Yes, so.
Well, it's not changing. What's being done about it is changing to me.
Oh, you hair splitter, you. No, we don't need no privacy. We are not, you know. We don't.
If you're not doing anything wrong.
Why would you need privacy? So where are we now? 41 years after Roe versus Wade has been the law of the land. Well, in the 1990s, 130 laws restricting abortion rights were passed. 189 restrictive abortion laws were passed between 2000 and 2010. In the last 3 years, between 2011 and last year, 2013, 205 laws were passed that restrict access to abortions in some way. 70 of those restrictions were enacted in 2013 alone. So that's really last year saw about half as many restrictions and abortion laws as the entire decade of the 90s.
Busy people.
There's a bit of a race. 12 states have bans on abortion after 20 weeks. 24 states have excluded abortion services in health coverage.
Let alone birth control.
Mm-hmm. So there's 14 will have some sort of backlash against these restrictions. As we have seen, newly elected officials in Virginia have promised last year to repeal laws that force women seeking abortions to undergo the invasive transvaginal ultrasounds, for example. And there is a hope that perhaps as voters get good and riled up about watching these rights be swept away from us, that there, in fact, will be a backlash, first in seating pro-choice candidates, then in, actually watching them do their work.
Because, according to, Terry O'Neill, who is the president of the National Organization for Women, And where I was hearing this on Rachel Maddow, who I don't always listen to, but I did because I knew she was covering this, the Republicans are going to come out swinging with both barrels. That's going to be the big ticket item for 2014 for them, the to repeal abortion rights. Well, women's rights in general, but especially abortion rights, that's going to be, according to Washington, their big selling point. I don't know if I can. I don't think that's the right word for that. But it's going to be extremely contentious again this year because basically they got nothing. So that's what tends to happen, I think.
When they got nothing.
Yeah.
So we want to hear from you, dear listener, gentle listener, outraged listener. We want to hear from you. 503-231-8187. Give the Engineering Pixie a call. Get on the air. And you too can join in this conversation as we are talking about reproductive rights this morning. And I want to go ahead and broaden that discourse. First of all, I want to talk about shame and apology. Beyond state legislations, let's look at what's a lot of sort of the motivating factors behind these legislative acts. Shaming women, controlling women's sexuality, and controlling women's bodies is really, how do we say, so apparent, so obvious. One of the really, that's the why of it all, right? And to force the apologetical propriety, right? Then one doesn't say, I had an abortion and it was the most empowering thing I've done for myself. It was a decision I feel good about. And if I were in set circumstances again, I would do it again. We don't hear that so much. We hear, well, I had an abortion, but you know, it really, it's about the circumstances. I'm really sorry. You know, but it just seemed like the right thing to do. And it's because we've been browbeaten into this kind of response. I want to hear the rallying cry of abortion on demand without apology. You know, that was sort of an early 70s feminist cry. I want to hear it again. I want to get us there. I want us to eschew shame and really embrace controlling our bodies and our destiny. There is nothing shameful about engaging, nothing shameful about wanting to actually control when we have children, about accessing birth control, about having sex. There is nothing shameful about it. There is certainly nothing shameful about having an abortion. It is a standard, safe, and pretty non-complicated medical procedure.
And something that's been done unsafely, unless, of course, you had a lot of money, for many, well, even then, for eons, and ever since women could get pregnant, women were having abortions. That's the other part. If we criminalize it somehow, people think that will go away, and what that does is make things extremely unsafe for women. Mm-hmm. But if they're chattel...
Well, you know, we don't really care about women's health, right?
Apparently not.
And we don't really care about children's health either. Or we care about the health of the unborn.
Well,
because they're the innocents.
The fetus is sacred. And yet, yes, yes, fetuses are sacred. Once they're born,
Well, you know, we certainly don't want to support them through a public education or, say, adequate housing or food. So
do you know, in Texas right now, there is a woman, and I just heard this with the radio on this morning really early, so I'm not remembering where exactly in Texas, who apparently has a completely unviable fetus that they will not remove because state law, and she's in the hospital, so she has to kind of just stay there. So it's a waste of money. It's a waste of her life because that can completely endanger her life. For what exactly?
For what? Let's go ahead and talk to James. James is on the air. I want to remind people you can give us a ring at 503-231-8187. Always best to call in early so we can, in fact, include a lot of conversation. We'll try to get to you relatively soon. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can like our fan page and you can, in fact, comment there. You can also, in fact, find this rather fabulous snippet that we could not play on the air today. But it is, in fact, Sarah Silverman's take on reproductive rights and safeguarding them. I highly recommend it, but the FCC ain't going to let us play it. We did, however, post it to our Facebook page, so do go there and check it out. That's Facebook.
And we'll talk more about that later.
Good morning, James. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ani. Thank you for taking my call. Being that our central government is controlled by international bankers who have basically been behind most of the genocides around the globe, they have control, being that they control our central government, they control abortion in America. Understand what I'm saying? This is a principle that that Jefferson talked about, that any centralized control of social policy gives fascistic and totalitarian control of social policy in the hands of the central government. And that's controlled by international bankers or what he was referred to as the monarchy at the time. They control that. That's why everything was left to the local government or the state. So everything was decentralized. So if a local community became tyrannical, that people would be able to go and start their own community. And,
right. What is your? Do you have a question? Or
well, my point is that we need to get social government and place it back in the local community.
Here's the deal, James. The federal government is actually the thing that is defending and safeguarding women's access to abortion. It's actually eroded state by state by state by state. So what you're saying is actually, that's probably a fine trend. And I have some concerns about that.
What the deal is, the bankers have so much power. They have infiltrated our government
Hold on, let's not conflate some things. I am no fan of bankers. Hold on, James.
Okay.
I want to make sure that we're understanding each other. Okay. The bankers have an undue influence in our politics. Sure. Financiers, the 1%, the ultra-rich, have bought and sold politicians for years. Okay, we got that down.
Okay.
So, again, what does this have to do with the fact that the federal government is actually safeguarding our rights to have access to abortion and privacy in a doctor-patient relationship for at least 12 weeks? And states have eroded that right state by state, including some states that would make it outright illegal, period, if not for this pesky thing of federal law.
Well, let's look at history. Look, the banksters got into the state governments and promoted slavery.
That's not what we're talking about this morning.
We're talking about abortion rights
and
reproductive rights.
I'm trying to show how the banksters create.
Well, you got to speed it up a little.
Go ahead. The banksters have created what about reproductive rights?
What the banksters do is they create factions. And then they pit the factions against each other so as to keep the people in conflict.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Sure, divide and conquer mentality.
Divide and conquer mentality.
Sure.
This is what they could very well be doing this with abortion rights.
But really, we're talking about how to expand reproductive freedoms.
Well,
what do you say on reproductive freedoms?
What I believe
is just get rid of the bankers for a minute. Let's get rid of all that. Let's look at you. How do you, in fact, protect and advance the cause of reproductive freedoms?
By decentralizing.
By decentralizing. But we've just actually seen that decentralizing is causing erosion.
That is an illusion.
No, it's actually a law. You can look state by state, and you can look at Roe versus Wade. That's the law. So go ahead and check that out. Check out how each state is eroding those rights.
I believe you. I'm agreeing with you. I agree with you. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, but once everything is controlled by the central authority, that everything else is. In other words, we're living in a reality that it would be different if the federal system was restored.
All right. Well, hey, James, Not connected. I do appreciate the fact that, you know, you and I are in agreement on, you know, we need to get heavy finances out of politics. That would be a good start.
Heavy finances out of, and politics out of reproductive rights. That would be
that also
even
is
better,
not a not a bad thing to do. But I got to say, when you're conflating some issues, it makes it hard to have a productive conversation. So 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning. And you can do that right now rather easily. Anne?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. I just wanted to say that I was 21 when Roe versus Wade passed.
Me too.
And I felt really good. I felt that it was a good thing. I felt.
Did you think it was, that was it? Okay, the issue is over?
No,
I did.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah,
and
we
I
thought, also, oh, that's solved. Let's go on to do some other things.
And then in 81, I got pregnant, young person, and it was very abusive. And I wanted to say an important thing, I think, which is that 1 out of 4 women in America have been sexually abused before the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it very difficult for them to take control of their lives and to make wise decisions. It's a really, as a woman. And at that time, I was in that kind of situation, and I'm so happy that I prevented a child from experiencing, you know, a terrible life. And I think many women who have had abortions think that too. They look back and they say, you know, of course it's not something that you would choose to do, but to have that choice when it's not right to bring the child into the world, I just wish that every woman in America could still safely feel that she has that choice.
And it's a zygote. It's not a child yet, but that's just, we won't go into that.
But, yeah, no, yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. But I mean, you know, thinking in the future, you think, why did I make the choice? And it's usually because you want to provide a good environment if you decide to have a child.
Well, it's,
and it's your life too, and you want to be able to live it the way you want to live it.
Yeah, that's true. I would never have gone on and had the career I had if I had had a child at that point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing would have been that you know, the child would have repeated the kind of environment that I grew up in.
Well, you don't know, but on the other hand, you have nothing to apologize for.
No, I don't feel apologetic. I feel, like good. I said, happy. But, you know, that's not the way the society portrays it. They say you'll be depressed, you'll be regretful, but no way. I'm glad I had that freedom.
Thank you very much, Anne. Thank you for your call this morning.
Thanks for your program.
Absolutely. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
503-231.
Oh, look at that.
8187.
All the little lights are, it's a Christmas tree of phone lights here today.
It is, in fact, a conversation that people really do need to talk about and have with each other. And you know, I want to make it clear, it's okay to disagree. I want to be clear, disagreement is fine. I'll disagree pretty hard, but it's okay. I don't want people to start conflating things, however, because that starts getting into an area that we can't really have a good conversation.
And I would really like to encourage women to call up to share their experiences this morning. We will put you to the front of the line.
So, good morning, Steve. You're on. Hello, Steve. It sounds like you might be there, but we're not. Steve.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Steve.
Oh, hey, it's Jake, not Steve.
Okay.
Okay. I heard a guy who was talking about bankers, couldn't really understand what he was talking about. Thank you for staying on subject there. But
hey, you're so welcome.
I keep hearing about reproductive rights, and that's something I don't understand in this conversation. It seems like we're trying to do away with reproductive rights.
How do you mean?
I have 9 children. And I would be a person that could use that word reproductive right. My wife and I are exercising those quite much. And then, hear a lot of people who want to end life and call it reproductive rights, but it's the right to end life.
Well, actually, in the way that I use it, you may not have heard the very beginning of the show, but reproductive rights is far beyond the ability to choose whether to have a safe and legal abortion.
Sure.
Well beyond that. In fact, reproductive rights is supporting women's sovereignty over her body, and it is, in fact, supporting the idea that if a woman chooses to bring a child into this world, that, in fact, that is going to be supported by the society as well. That public That public education is quality and is supported. That perhaps there's access to quality food, shelter. I mean, let's look at the fact that most of the people living in extreme poverty are children, right?
Sure.
So as soon as that kid's born, where are the people who want to make sure that those children are all born, right?
Well,
where are they?
There was two people that were born in absolute poverty. One was named Abraham Lincoln. And there was another one named Barack Obama. And if we took those people based
actually,
on what you
Barack
just said,
wasn't that poor. But here's the other thing.
That reproductive rights is not just choosing abortion or not abortion. Reproductive rights is actually providing a social network wherein women can choose to have children and, in fact, know that they are not damning themselves to extreme poverty and that their children are going to be damned to extreme poverty as well. It also looks at reproductive freedoms. Reproductive freedoms from lesbian couples, from non-traditional families. It supports the right of all women to, in fact, be in a family way, as it were. And that's something that, again, I think a lot of people leave off the table when we look at reproductive rights and they start focusing on the women's right to abortion. I'm talking about the right to have children
I'm just stunned that we say that we're damned to poverty when there's a guy named Caesar Millan who swam across the lake to come over here to America, was an illegal immigrant, and now is the most popular dog trainer in the world. Now,
For what I'm saying, it is a choice of women to do with their bodies what they choose to do.
Let's stick to the facts.
You and your wife made that choice. I'm not going to just. I don't know if you are familiar with the kind of talk radio where people just yell and scream at each other, but we do here at Cable. So you have to. Everybody gets to wait their turn.
Okay.
And we can hear from you.
So. I myself am talking about choice here, a woman's choice to do what with her body, what she chooses to do, to have the amount of family she chooses to have. And you and your wife have chosen to have 9 children. That is fine. More power to you. And but other people have other decisions to make. And
right.
It is not
so.
Just because, and all the people you are mentioning that came out of extreme poverty are men. I might add that also.
I don't have any off the top of my head right now, but there's bunches.
16 million.
To me, that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not you choose to participate in parenthood.
16 million children.
Well, the thing is, when you say that somebody, just because they decide to have a baby, they're damning them to poverty.
No, not everyone.
Factual fault.
Sure.
I'm giving you 3 examples right off the top of my head that I can think of people who are born into absolute poverty. Abraham Lincoln said that he lived in a shotgun house. You could shoot a shotgun through one side and it'd go through the other. And
yep, got it.
Right, and same with Barack Obama.
Not so much,
same
but
with
okay.
Caesar Millan.
The dog whisperer was a poor kid. Okay,
right,
more
so
than 16 million children.
Out of poverty. Hey, the other quick, you got a lot of people to talk to besides
me.
So the
true.
Other quick
Thank
statement
you.
I want to make is that the last caller, she said, I wouldn't have been able to have the career that I had unless I ended the life of the child that was inside me.
Well, and she didn't exactly say that, but okay, you want to put words in her mouth.
And so I'm just wondering, at what point will we say, hey, 50 million people are dead today because of reproductive rights.
So what are you doing about the 16 million children in the U.S., 22% of all children, who are living in families below the federal poverty level?
My wife having an abortion will not help those other
I didn't
children.
Ask you about that. I asked you what you are personally doing to improve the lives of the 16 million children who are living in poverty.
So do you want me to make a list of all the people that I donate money to?
No, not necessarily. It's really a rhetorical question. But I'm happy that you're making lives better. I'm just saying.
So there's a group called CAM, they Christian Aid Ministry. Mm-hmm. They give food and shelter and clothing to people all over the world.
Do they do that to same-sex couples?
They do that for every. It doesn't. If they're cold, they give you a blanket. It don't matter.
Really?
They just give it to you.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Right, and so when you're helping people, what we believe doesn't matter at all. If somebody's cold, you give them a blanket.
Not true for many Christian organizations, I gotta say.
Well, you could be you might.
So
be
you want to give
right
them blank? You want to give people blankets, but you don't want everybody to make their own decisions.
No. But what about the child itself? Now, see, my first child was an unplanned pregnancy.
That's great for you. You're looking through this in
today.
A mirror of
she's,
only...
Wait,
you
okay,
said
everybody's
going to
finish their sentences. You said everybody's going to finish their sentence. You cut me off. So let me finish. She's 16 years old now, mm-hmm. has a job, has tons of friends, and if we would have gone along with the mainstream, it would have made sense. It would have made sense for us. Young kids don't have hardly a job to go ahead and get an abortion. And then my daughter, you'd never get a chance to meet.
But well, it's true. She wouldn't exist.
That's right. And so by these reproductive rights, you'd never get to meet my little girl.
So here's the deal. You did the choice. You made the decision that was absolutely right for you. And
right.
I absolutely support that. And I absolutely support that.
Too. The Nazis
this is where we have to part ways. Sorry, but it's again.
I'm just telling you, it's not reproductive rights. It's the right to murder.
Okay. And, well, first of all, you're ignoring the rest of the reproductive rights we've been trying to talk about. Second of all,
I'm
sorry, it's not
murder. There's a lady right now in Texas, Munoz. They're trying to decide whether or not to let her off life support right now because she has a they keep calling it a fetus inside. Now the hospital won't
set
it off.
That's what it is.
The dad wants to, but you know.
You know, I thank you. I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree here, and we've got a lot of callers. And thank you very, very much for your call, Jake. Please continue to listen.
And again, we support your right to have kids.
Yep.
Absolutely cool. Support our right not to. Okay. So let's see. We have Steve. Steve's
Steve
back with us.
Back.
Good morning, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The last caller mentioned... that abortion is murder, and murder is a legal term, and it's set by law, and abortion is definitely not murder. Also, the prior caller tried to conflate some kind of banking conspiracy with the issue.
Still haven't quite figured that one out.
That's James likes to do that.
Yeah, it's just wacko.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
Yeah.
I think we need to discuss it in starker terms that the vaginal ultrasound is actually the government, and it's totally bizarre and unnecessary. And
I mean, it is only there. It's certainly not medically necessitated.
Correct.
Like, by and any stretch of the imagination. It is only there to humiliate and intimidate women from this choice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one thing that hasn't been discussed is the responsibility of men in this issue.
We were waiting for you to call,
men?
Steve. That's why.
I beg your pardon?
We were just waiting for you to call and do that. Thank you very much.
Well, there is no consequence for men who go out and father all these unwanted children. And there should be. And, abortion should be rare, safe, and legal. And what really bothers me is that people assume that their rights extend beyond their own bodies and into someone else's body, and that's absolutely wrong.
Isn't
it's contrary
that?
To mm-hmm. our whole form of government and the pride allotted the right to be left alone from our government.
The privacy that at least we believed we had been allotted, but really, I think Lynn started out this morning by mentioning that privacy just ain't what it used to be. Anyway, thanks very much, Steve, for your call this morning. I couldn't agree more. Thanks. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. You can also comment on our Facebook page where you can find us and, in fact, like our fan page should you want to. Positively Revolting is how you can find us on Facebook. Yes, Lynn, you had your finger in the air. I think you have a point to make.
I did. Well, I was going back. I wanted to go discuss the Sarah Silverman. If you go to Lady Parts Justice, which I love, but it's Sarah Silverman, so I love it. It's a group of women of comedians. They say save the date, September 27th, 2014. Sarah Silverman announced she will be in Concord, New Hampshire. Why? Because our celebrity lady parts Justice Leaguers are going back to their home states to stand up with their mothers, sisters, and friends, to show them they care and will always defend the women who made them who they are. Spread the word so you and everyone you know will be in your state capitol September 27th this year, from V to Shining V, the party of the year. Join us pledging your commitment to women and fighting for issues that matter. And so go. I highly recommend Lady Parts Justice. It's a great video. As they say, it's enough. Women are not faking rape. They don't have magical powers to deactivate rape sperm. We are not pregnant before we are pregnant. We can't have an abortion to carry stillborn babies. Abortions don't cause mental instability, and the HPV vaccine doesn't make girls mentally retarded. No woman's boss should be able to demand information from her to decide if her from state houses, from across state houses, as we said, not national, state houses from across America, and Lady Parts people are sick of it. And that's what they're going to be doing something about it. So, like I said, go to Lady Parts Justice. You'll be glad you did.
And so will we. There is. Now I'm going to go ahead and let you know, this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock, you will be listening to One Land, Many Voices. The co-hosts, Ned Roche and Zaha Hassan, interview Zayed Abbas of the Middle East Children Alliance and Mohammed Nabil, a Palestinian student from Gaza, about the crisis in Gaza as a result of the fuel shortage. Also, local activist Tom Bell talks about the international game and the leafleting efforts at local Macy's and Target stores. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints takes a look at protests against gentrification and the privatizing of public transportation in San Francisco. And the Electronic Intifada features a recent talk by activist and scholar Angela Davis on Palestine, the struggle against Israeli apartheid, and other international issues. At 11 o'clock, former engineer and professor Tom Greco speaks civilization. At 11:30, Don Merrill speaks with actor and comedian Wanda Sykes, who is also a spokesperson for GLAAD and PETA. And of course, we thank you, KABU members, really deeply, because it is only with your generous support that we can keep KABU Radio going on. If you're not a member yet, please take care of that right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. You can do it. We'll be ever so glad you did. You will sustain us. And, you know, you'll be glad too, because you'll realize you're doing your part for free speech, social change, and, well, you know, the fight for the right, basically. Is it the fight for the left? Anyways, this is...
Fight for peace and justice.
The fight for peace and justice. Wait, fighting for peace is like something I can't say on the air. Shall we go and take a caller? What do you think? I say, let's talk to Keisha. Good morning, Keisha.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you for being here. What do you have to say this morning?
That I appreciate free clinics that are out around our state in Oregon that allow women to be able to have the choice to go in and have exams, annual exams, to be able to see what is going on, if there are anything going on, and being able to take care of it. If there are cysts or polyps, they can actually go in and have these things be talked about, looked at, and addressed. Also, I went to a free clinic recently and was able to see that I had a thyroid test done, mm-hmm. and had issues with my thyroid. And so now, that 2014's here, we're able to go in and do some more free tests and things like that. So I really appreciate that type of reproduction that's allowed for women. So thank you.
You are welcome.
Keisha, thank you very much. Yeah. Accessing good quality health care. I understand the Affordable Care Act is supposed to help with that. I trust a little bit that it will help with that. It's miles and miles, possibly several states over from where we actually need to be. really large states like Montana and Texas. I mean, just really, it's we've got a long ways to go. Single payer, so much more effective, so much better. Doesn't enrich the insurance agencies anymore. Oh, wait, maybe that's what. But that's a whole nother show. Again, these issues, they're so interrelated. And reproductive freedoms and reproductive rights means that you can actually, yeah, access doctors. Go figure. Let's go ahead.
You know what? Oh, you're going to go? Let's go for another call. I was just going to say, I'm looking at, excuse me, and coughing. I'm looking at the states and what they're doing. In Ohio, this is a great one. The Governor John Kaish signed the state's budget bill, which includes a provision that prohibits public hospitals from entering into transfer agreements with abortion providers, which means that if something, God forbid, does go wrong and a woman needs to be hospitalized, she's out of luck in Ohio. They can't send her to another larger facility that could perhaps save her life.
Yowza, yowza, yowza.
That's one state.
All right.
We got a million of them here.
Yeah.
All right, 50 anyway.
Okay, let's go ahead and take another call, shall we?
Sure.
Let's talk to Harry. Good morning, Harry. You're on the air.
Oh, greetings, everyone. Yes, here in Portland, all the nonprofit stations are here on the left side of the FM dial. But the very first station here in Portland is Mother Angelica's Catholic Radio Network. And they really rile against reproductive rights and reproductive religious reasons. They consider if you're pregnant, they consider the fetus a life from conception. And they're against a birth control because they believe that if you
every sperm is sacred.
If you can't control your sexual libido, this is not going to control it. It's
the wages of sin, I believe, is how my mother used to describe it.
And in the Catholic Church, hasn't that worked well?
Oh yes, but anyway, it seems this. Not moral, but religious reasons why all these laws are coming into play. Not medical reasons, but religious reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing medical about it. I mean, medical, if you really want to stick with medical facts, then you're going to make damn sure that birth control is extremely accessible. You're going to make damn sure that there's good quality information about sexuality and sexual health and reproductive health. And you're going to make very damn sure that access to safe legal abortions is there, right? Because that would be the healthcare perspective. Anything else is based in one's own belief in God or spirit. And again, we can't legislate that on each other.
But they're trying to.
But in fact, they're trying to. And we heard from somebody this morning who was just fine with that. I want to thank Teresa. Teresa Mitchell from Press Watch is just quick on, since we had the scriptural sort of inclined person earlier who was talking about abortion being murder, 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 Teresa has decided to throw in some scriptural quotes because, in fact, she was born in Texas and brought up that way, okay? Interesting point of fact, Teresa and I both know the Bible really super good. Teresa points out there is scripture that says God will punish women by aborting their fetuses through any of a number of reasons. And she quotes scripture, "Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts." That's from Hosea 9:14.
For what? What are they going to give for?
You know, some say transgression.
Okay.
God teaches the use of a bizarre ritual using cursed bitter water to abort a fetus conceived through infidelity in Numbers 5:11 through 21. God orders Moses to kill every Midianite woman who is no longer a virgin. Of course, by extrapolation, several of those would have been pregnant. That's in Numbers 31, 15 through 18. God promises to destroy the infants of Samaria and rip open the stomachs of pregnant women. The people of Samaria must bear their guilt because they have rebelled against God. They will fall by the sword, their little ones dashed upon the ground, and the pregnant women ripped open. Again, Hosea 13:16. God allows the pregnant women of Tapua to be ripped open. It goes on and on. Lots of ripping open, I gotta say. That's a phrase that comes up over and over again. Let's just say there are several other examples, but I think you get the point. If you want to try to base an entire social structure on the Judeo-Christian spiritual paths, and you're going to go straight up Orthodox literalist on it, then you've got a whole lot of reckoning to do. Because, in fact, that is a schizophrenic God at best. I wouldn't have him over to dinner, let alone have him, like, you know, be a spiritual leader and make laws for our country. Moving on. I'm off it now. Go on. Carry on.
I was just sort of pondering on the issue about when, for a lot of the folks that don't want women to have abortions, I will call them those people, that they talk about pain, when a fetus can feel pain. And yet, these are the same folks, or some of them, that want to legislate torture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, there's always been a little bit of irony. When I worked as an abortion assistant, right?
You might even say contradiction.
Yeah. You could say hypocrisy, in fact, would be another. I worked at an abortion clinic for 4 years. I understand the procedure very well. I was a patient advocate and an assistant in medical procedures. And I became very, very familiar with the people outside the clinic who, you know, were screaming all manner of untoward things at women trying to access health services and the clinic workers, calling us murderers, calling us baby killers, calling us all manner of things that I can't say on the air. We're the same exact people that were showing up for the pro-war rallies and were writing letters to the editor in support of the death penalty. Again, I'm saying there's not a lot that makes sense with this crowd. Personally, got to say it. Okay. And with that, let us say...
We have many callers.
503-231-8187. The number to call, though the bases are loaded. We will try to get to as many callers as we can this morning. Again, it's a topic that people really do need to talk about. You can also find us on Facebook as we are facebook.com/positivelyrevolting. You can check out the ladypartsjustice.com video that we have posted to that site, because it's not FCC friendly. It's as good as we could get it.
It's really good.
And with all that, let's go ahead and take another caller. What do you say, Lynn?
I say let's go. Lori?
I wanted to add a little bit on the religious thing. There is one passage, too. I want to change the word reproductive rights to reproductive responsibility. If you're not ready to have a child, either to love and care for the child, then abortion is the best move at that time. And there is one other passage where if you beat up a woman and she miscarries, you do have to give the guy a couple of shekels to cover that. And there's and if he wants it. There's another passage that says that Jesus himself says in the world that's coming, it would be better if you were not born, that women would stay barren and all that. So the thing is, you say, people don't read the Bible. The other thing is disobedient children can be stoned to death killed.
And, outright.
And beat your children with sticks. And we have way over a million children in this country who have been severely abused by their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just poverty and whatnot. It's people having children that they're not prepared to take care of, and this is a very, very serious thing. I do not think that people have to say, oh, I went through agony making this decision. Why should you go whether you're... That should take about 3 seconds. Thank you.
You are welcome,
very much.
Thank you.
Some people might take a day or two, you know. I mean, some people agonize over a lot of things, you know, but
right.
But again, that untoward shame, humiliation, and buying into the idea that you are taking a life.
Well, on Democracy Now! This morning, Amy Goodman was nice enough to have a help lead into our show, and they were talking about in film, what is it, 90% of the women who have abortions die.
Yeah. Right. In film. Let's just be clear. We're talking
in film.
Somebody on Facebook has asked me to please post Teresa's comments. Isn't that great? So people can, in fact, go around quoting all manner of scripture to each other for a while. Let's go ahead and take another call. I'm doing it, by the way. Let's go ahead and take another call. We say Garrett. Good morning, Garrett. You're on the air.
I've actually known quite a few people who were in foster care as kids, and because it had a rough life, they acted out a few too many times and were put on combinations of psychiatric medication, which had the side effect of making them barren. It actually took away their right to reproduce, and I am supportive of the right to have an abortion, but I'm also supportive of the right for someone not to have that the right to have children taken away.
Absolutely.
Because they have a horrible childhood.
Yeah. And remember, actually, it was into the 70s. And I think we can find later references, but they're few and far between. But into the 70s, there were forced sterilizations going on for women who were labeled crazy. That could be really not just non-gender conforming.
Defiant.
Yeah, that's the word.
Eugenics is still going on.
Absolutely. And women that are in the penal system are often forced into having Depo-Provera and other long-lasting semi-permanent or permanent sterilizations.
Mm-hmm.
And that, still today.
It's eugenics, but there are a lot of things people could say, oh, well, they just don't know that they're doing this. They're not entirely well-versed on these medications they're prescribing. But doctors receive most of their education on medications from the companies that are trying to sell them.
Yeah,
and
I wouldn't argue with that.
I really believe that, if anything, the pharmacists are the ones who know, who have all of this information right there in front of them. And I really believe there should be consequences to pharmacies that don't tell people, hey, if you take this pill, you're going to be sterilizing yourself. Do you understand this? Or there needs to be some kind of gap in between the person who's taking the pill and the person who is giving them, some kind of break in there where they should get that information, and they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Gareth. I appreciate your call.
And I think it is absolutely a part of the spectrum of reproductive rights. Forced sterilization is a problem. It's a bad thing. Let's move on.
I believe we said it. Thanks, Gareth.
Yes. Allie, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for covering this today. I really appreciate it. I'm a little disappointed to hear how many male-identified callers there are on this subject.
It's always fascinating to me.
Yeah, but I wanted to thank you and also draw attention to a really great organization in the Portland area, but that operates nationally, called Backline.
See that your connection's a little bit bad. You want to say that at Backline? Is that
Backline? Yes, and that is an organization. It's a peer talk line that provides non-judgmental support to women or to anybody, whoever they identify, about the full spectrum of pregnancy experiences. So, pregnancy, parenting, adoption, abortion, fetal anomaly, infertility. Fetal loss, all of these different things, and it provides sort of a compassionate, not judgmental space for folks to be able to speak honestly and truthfully and have space held for them. And it's a really great organization, and I think that it does a lot to provide space for people to talk about reproductive justice or just to process their own experiences, because I do appreciate what a previous caller said, that in an ideal world, I don't even want to use the word insane, there's of stigma and shame. And a lot of people speaking over the voices of women who are trying to have a conversation about their own bodies, and a lot of internalized misogyny and a lot of internalized stigma about that as well. It's not just the external voices. So I want to just thank you for having this program today, and I also just wanted to draw attention to that line so that if anyone is listening who is making a really hard decision or even already is a parent and is struggling with putting a parent is, there's also another great organization in the Portland area called Baby Blues Connection, which supports people exclusively experiencing postpartum depression. So there are resources available that aren't going to tell you you're a terrible person for wanting control of your own body, which is great.
It's refreshing.
Thank you very much, Allie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, let's went to backline.com, and there's a Portland number. In fact, maybe I'll just put it on the Facebook page.
Let's do that.
Okay.
And let's go ahead and take what I'm sure will be the last caller of the day, because, in fact, we have only 3 minutes left. Good morning, Annalisa.
I had a friend who was called baby as a teenager, which is another part of denying rights.
Absolutely.
And that is what made her crazy later on, because she had never been able to find that child that she was forced to give up for adoption.
Yeah, that actually was fairly common.
And so that, yeah, and so that is another aspect of this whole cycle and circle for women's rights.
It's interesting that you bring that up. I have a friend who is currently studying in Paris, and we've been in dialogue about the differing attitudes and laws Western Europe now around surrogacy, and looking at that as an interesting issue for class analysis, you know, as poor women are paid to have babies for rich mm-hmm. women.
Yeah, I wonder whether people on the right have attitudes about no abortions or against women's rights, but what about the right of a young child, mm-hmm. the West Bay, and I know very yeah. well, and she agonized about it 20 years later. She was still
sure.
in tremendous pain about that. Oh, okay. So cool. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Annalisa. Thanks, Annalisa. You for calling. I got to say, you know, it's one of those anomalies that I just couldn't help but notice when I was working at the medical facility that provided abortions, mm-hmm. Otherwise known as the Feminist Women's Health Center. What we noticed was that out of a rather small staff, I believe there were about 7 of us, 4 of us were adoptees. And that said a huge amount to me. That's statistically impossible. I mean, just about, right? I mean, well, obviously not impossible because it happened.
Because it happened.
But it was anomalous. And basically, what we fathomed, excuse me, was that this was because we really did cherish and understand at a bone level what reproductive freedoms meant, and whether or not what choices we would personally make for our own selves, we were going to, in fact, guarantee the rights of reproductive freedoms for all women, period.
Excellent.
Abortion on demand without apology. That's what I say. And onwards to next week.
Absolutely. Membership drives coming up.
That's a couple weeks.
I know, but.
All right. Onwards to next week. See you then. Bye.
Hit you pretty hard and knocked you down. For a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what color, what size you are, how you're built, I am out to sing the songs to yourself.
I'm Lori Sonnenfeld.
And I'm Don Jacobson.
Together we bring you Moving On, Fridays from 12 noon to 1:30.
We feature both traditional and contemporary folk music.
We love to present live in-studio concerts from local and national musicians.
Tune in and you'll hear music that is socially progressive, moving, and heartfelt.
Music heard only on the left-hand edge of the dial and only on KBOO.
Every Friday, noon to 1:30.
We who believe in freedom cannot fail.
Oaks Park Roller Rink and KBOO Community Radio proudly present Bounce, Roll, Skate, Tuesday, January 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Oaks Park Roller Rink. They'll be broadcasting a two-hour funk and disco special live from KBOO Community Radio at 90.7 FM in Portland, and you can be a part of it. It's a theme party, so feel free to wear your favorite 70s outfits, wigs, and costumes, or wear whatever you like. That's Bounce, Roll, Skate, January 28th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Oaks Park Roller Rink. Call 503-231-8032 or go to kboo.fm/themeltingpot for more information.
This is KBOO Portland, where the time is 9:02 a.m. at 9. In just a moment, Ed Roche and Zaha Hassan interview Zayed Abbas from the Middle East Children's Alliance and Mohammed Nabil, a Palestinian student from Gaza, about the crisis in Gaza as a result of the fuel shortage. Also, local activist Tom Bell talks about the international call for the boycott of SodaStream and the leafleting efforts at a local Macy's and Target stores. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, news, and headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints takes a look at protests against gentrification and the privatizing of public transportation in San Francisco. At 11, former engineer and professor Tom Greco speaks on the end of money and the future of civilization. And at 11:30, host Don Merrill speaks with actor and comedian Wanda Sykes. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for KBOO Community Radio. If you're not a member, become one now by going to kboo.fm. Click on Donate Today. And a programming note on One Land, Many Voices was programmed. The program was recorded in December and scheduled for December's broadcast and was rescheduled due to technical difficulties. So let's hear it now.
Good morning. My name is Zaha Hassan.
And I'm Ned Roche. And you're listening to One Land, Many Voices, a non-commercial, listener-supported radio, KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.